We're going to read the entire chapter, but this morning we're looking at verses 11 through 22. Verses 11 through 22. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. And you were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And then our text this morning. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to you to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So far, God's word. Let's bring this before him now in prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we need to hear the good news of the gospel. We need to be reminded who we were. We need to be reminded that we were dead in the trespasses and sins in which we once walked. But we also need to be reminded, especially this morning, of your grace to us. That you, being rich in mercy because of your great love, made us alive in Christ Jesus. So we're reminded of the work of Christ this morning. As we come to your word now, open our hearts and our minds. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, who here remembers the falling of the Berlin Wall? A few boys and girls, you might ask your parents at lunch about what all that was. But 9th of November 1989 was when the wall came down, and it was a big deal. A barrier that had been in place dividing East and West Germany, East and West Berlin, came down after 30 years. It signaled an end, the beginning of the end of the Cold War. And looking back now, it's easy to forget the significance of this time. It's easy to overlook how important this was. I remember growing up as a young boy in New Zealand with a fear of nuclear holocaust, with a fear of nuclear war. The Cold War was created an arms race as both, especially the United States and the Soviet Union, built up stockpiles of arms, nuclear weapons. Now, the aim of this, supposedly, was to be a deterrent. If they had an equal amount of weapons and enough weapons, then no side would be silly enough, would be crazy enough to attack the other. But back in the 80s, people lived, in the late 70s, people lived with the question of what if? What if there was a president so crazy that he decided it was worth the price of pushing the button? What if there was some rogue submarine somewhere that launched a missile that started a nuclear war? And the wall coming down helped ease many of those tensions, many of those fears. And this wall coming down meant that Germany again could be reunited. And as the wall came down, it also highlighted the differences. Now, I haven't traveled to East Germany. I know people who have, and they've reported to me, they've told me that you could see, especially just after the wall coming down, the big difference between the two countries. The wealth in the West, the poor in the East. But the barrier came down. And here in our passage this morning, as we look at verses 11 through 22 of Ephesians chapter 2, we also see a barrier being broken down, a significant barrier. And because of this barrier, we see unity, reunification again. The barrier is being broken down between God and us. The barrier is being broken down between each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. So this morning we're going to see that Christ breaks down the barriers to form us into one body. Christ breaks down the barriers to form us into one body as we are being formed into Christ's perfect people. 3 points this morning. And our first point this morning is who we were. Who we were. We were reminded this morning of verses 1 through 10 as we read through them, something that we looked at a while ago now. Beautiful words there in verse 4, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive together with Christ. Reminded of the beautiful grace that God has extended to his people. And here in our text this morning, Paul turns his attention to a barrier, to a division that existed there in the church at Ephesus. And this was a division between Jews and Gentiles. In verse 11 we have here, therefore remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in flesh by hands. Now, the term Gentile is not a term that a Gentile would use of themselves. It was a term that the Jews used to describe anyone who was not a Jew. A Roman person in those days or a Greek person wouldn't call themselves a Gentile. It was something that the Jews used. And to understand this passage, we need to be reminded or to understand the actual division that was there between Jews and Gentiles. Writers of that time, Jewish writers of that time, give us a picture of what many Jews thought about Gentiles. A male Jew, when he did his prayers, would thank God for a number of things. And the first thing, as he started his prayer, he would thank God that he was not a Gentile. The second thing he would pray is he'd thank God that he was not a woman. It was said in those days by some Jewish writers that Gentiles were born to fuel the fires of hell. Jewish people were forbidden for helping to help Gentiles to give birth, because that would mean there'd be one more Gentile in the world. Now, these are pretty extreme views. Did every Jew hold this? No, but it gives you an idea of some of the sentiment. And then you take that and you place some of those ideas into a church. There was real division going on at Ephesus. There was a tendency for the Jews to see themselves as superior. We read that there in that verse 11. They were calling the Gentiles the uncircumcision. But Paul here hints at a problem, part of the problem, there in the last part of verse 11. He says, those who are called the uncircumcision, Jews calling Gentiles uncircumcised, but what is made in the flesh by hands. He's hinting here already that outward circumcision, the outward sign, was never what it was about. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, don't turn there, but if you're making notes, Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, we read this. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart and be no longer stubborn. The whole idea of circumcision was not just an outward sign, it was meant to point to spiritual renewal. But to a Jew, a Gentile did not belong. And in one way, Paul says they were right. As he goes on in verse 12, remember, he's speaking specifically to the Gentiles in the congregation. And he says, remember that you were at one time separated from Christ. He goes through a number of things and reminds them that they were separated from the people of Israel at one point in time. Remember, you were separated from Christ. The most important thing, you had no access to the coming Messiah. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You weren't part of God's chosen people. You were strangers to the covenants of promise. The term covenants here is significant, speaking of a number of covenants that God had made over time with the people of Israel. Covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with David, a covenant that he had made with the entire nation. He's saying, you Gentiles didn't have a part of that. And he sums it all up there at the end of verse 12, saying, you had no hope. You're without God in the world. Remember, he says, who you were. And that is actually true for all of us. None of us here this morning have grown up in the nation of Israel, certainly not the nation of Israel before Christ came. None of us have lived in a world where Israel was the only nation. But all of us, without Christ, are outside of blessing, are outside of God's favor. All of us who do not have, before we had Christ, had no hope. And if you're here this morning, you were listening via the internet, or you were listening for another time, hear this morning these words of truth. If you do not have Christ, you do not have any hope. It is hopeless. You need Christ. Remember who you were, Paul says, but then something happened. And then Paul goes on to speak about two barriers that were broken down, two barriers that were removed. A horizontal barrier first, and then a vertical barrier. And that brings us to our second point this morning, what Christ has done. We heard that beautiful but there in verse 4, chapter 2, verse 4, but God being rich in mercy. We have another but there in verse 13. He's described who the Gentiles were, but he says now, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You who were far off have been brought near. A phrase used in the book of Isaiah initially to talk about the people of Israel as they were brought far off and brought back to God's favor. But here Paul takes it and applies it to the Gentiles. How does that happen? How are people brought near in Christ Jesus? Verse 14, he himself is our peace. Not Christ brings peace, but Christ is our peace. Peace is found in Christ. And in Christ, Christ makes all of God's people one. He unites all God's people. Notice the transmission, the change, I should say, in verse 14. He'd been speaking to the Gentiles, but in verse 14 he says, for he himself is our peace, who has made us both one. He's not just talking to the Gentiles now, he's speaking to the Jews and the congregation as well. He says, in Christ, you are now all one. Christ has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Now, it's quite possible that what Paul is referring to here is the dividing wall that was there in the temple. Archaeologists have found signs from the excavations in Jerusalem that have shown a sign that says, Gentiles may not enter here upon pain of death. A Gentile could only come so far into the temple. You needed to be born of the nation of Israel to be able to go further into the temple. There was this dividing wall. But whether Paul is referring to that specifically, his point is the same. Christ has broken down the wall. Christ has broken down the wall of hostility. Christ has broken down the barrier, he says, verse 15, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Now, he's not saying here that the law is gone. The law no longer matters. What he's speaking about is the law as a barrier. A law as a barrier that restricted people from being part of God's chosen people. He has in mind here the ceremonial laws, the sacrificial laws, but also any particular way that the law said to people, you cannot be part of God's people. And we see the result in verse 15. By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace. This is a really significant part and phrase of our passage here this morning. That he might create in himself one new man in place of two. He's not saying here that Gentiles can become Jews. They could already do that. You could become a proselyte. You could join the Jewish religion, essentially becoming a Jew. He's not saying that. He's not saying that Jews now become Gentiles. No, he's saying what Christ has created in himself, a new person, a new nation, a new identity for God's people. And we see that in the early Christian writers. They referred to themselves and they were referred to as Christians. They weren't Greek Christians or Jewish Christians. They were simply known as Christians. Simply known as followers of Christ, a new people, a new nation. The barriers broken down. Paul is saying to the church there at Ephesus, there are no barriers anymore between you. In Christ, they are broken down. You are together his people. Now, we don't have that same racial, religious barrier as they did in the church at Ephesus back then. But what sort of barriers do we have here in Ringiora as God's people? What sort of things can divide us? What sort of walls are built or we build that create hostility between us as brothers and sisters in Christ? What are some potential things for creating barriers? One potential barrier is families. Becoming cliquey in our family groups, excluding others who may not have the same sort of family support. That's building up a barrier. we can make our beliefs a barrier. If we believe in a certain way and believe in a certain issue and refuse to talk or budge or seek every single opportunity to push that into people's faces, that creates a barrier. We have different views in our congregation with regard to leadership, with regard to membership, with regard to Israel, with regard to end times. These things can become barriers between us as God's people. Vaccination status can be a barrier. We have different personalities, different ways of doing things. We have different likes and dislikes. And we all know and have carried, and some still carry, some of us still carry, the hurts that we have done to each other or have done to us. The insensitivities of others against us and our insensitivity to others. And I'm sure if you sat here this morning, you can think potentially of other barriers between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. But Paul's point here is, in Christ there is no need for those barriers. In Christ we have peace. And brothers and sisters, I wonder if sometimes we spend too much time as God's people thinking about our differences. Thinking about the things that divide us. Thinking about the things that get under our skin, that annoy us about other people. Thinking about the things that divide us rather than thinking about the things that unite us. Thinking about the common bond that we have, the reality, our identity that we have as God's people, brothers and sisters, uncles and aunties, opas and omas, grandfathers and grandmothers, cousins and nieces of one body in Jesus Christ. Christ is our peace. There is no need for that division. But the horizontal barriers being removed means nothing without the vertical barrier being addressed. The barrier between us and God. And Paul goes on to speak about that. He says in verse 15, one new man in place of two, so making peace. And then in verse 16, and might reconcile us both to God in one body. He shifts from the horizontal relationships between brothers and sisters in the church, and he looks to God in the vertical. And it says that Christ has also removed that barrier. He brings both groups together. And that is the most important thing that Christ has done. Reconciled us, made us right with God in one body through the cross. Killing our hostility, he says, with God. Restoring us to God. And brothers and sisters, that is the central focus. That is the central basis of our unity with each other. The common bond that we have. That we are all united. We are all sons and daughters of Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ that we can have access to God, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, through Jesus Christ. And I know some people here this morning, I know some people listening to me later on the internet or listening to me now, will disagree with the way that we've looked here and defined Jews and Gentiles. But there is one thing that I am sure we can agree on and that we need to agree on. The only way that we can come to God is through Jesus Christ. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. Christ has killed the hostility between us as brothers and sisters and between God. But there's also something bigger that the Apostle Paul wants the Ephesians to see. There is something bigger that the Holy Spirit wants us to take note of this morning as we come to our third and final point. Point three is who we are becoming. Again, Paul uses inclusive language in verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. He came and preached peace to the Jews and the Gentiles. Now, Paul doesn't have just in mind here Christ's ministry on earth. Because while Christ was on earth, the majority of people he talked to were Jews. It wasn't until the ministry of the apostles, and we saw that as we began a journey through the book of Acts, it wasn't until then that the gospel was really opened up to the wider world. So Paul isn't limiting it here just to when Christ was on earth. He's pointing to, and we can see that as he goes further down the passage, he's pointing to also Christ preached by the apostles as the church grows throughout the world. As the gospel of Jesus Christ continues to be preached, as the gospel's preached here this morning. Paul reminds here the Ephesians and reminds us this morning of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the preaching of the word, as people are reminded of verse 18, through Jesus Christ we both have access in one spirit to the Father. That wonderful message of hope that we need to be reminded time in, time out, week in, week out. That Christ came for sinners. That Christ came for us. Paul places here the importance of the preaching of God's word, the power of the gospel. So a question for us here this morning is, do we appreciate the power of the gospel? Do we appreciate the power of the preached word? Do you appreciate the fact that as you came here this morning to hear God's word explained to you, you are going to hear again the gospel message, the message of hope that we need to hear every week in and week out? That the preaching of the word, as the church fathers have reminded us, is the main way, or one of the main ways that God extends his grace to us. As he gives us his word, as we're fed by his word, as we're nourished by his word, as we're challenged and equipped by his word. Are you committed to coming and hearing that reminder? Are you committed to taking every opportunity you can to come and hear the message of hope of Jesus Christ? To take every opportunity, to make every effort to come and be blessed by him, to come and be fed by him, to come and be nourished by him, to be reminded that Christ has made you right with him? Because of Christ's work, Paul continues to explain and expand the blessings and remind the Ephesians and remind us this morning of what we are becoming. And there are three things that are true because of Christ's work as Paul continues to speak. In verse 19 he says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you belong." Three ways in which they belong, starting there in verse 19. He says, you are fellow citizens with the saints. The idea of citizenship in those days was a very significant thing. Paul was a citizen of Rome and also a citizen of Israel. He had two passports, and those passports, well, if they had passports in those days, but two documents that showed that he had rights. That he had more rights than someone who was just simply living in a place. And Paul says, in Christ you belong. In Christ you belong to that new nation, that new people. But more than that, he goes deeper. You are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now I was, my birth certificate comes from Holland, from the Netherlands. That's where my real ancestry is. And even on my New Zealand passport, it has listed that I was born in the Netherlands. But in Christ, brothers and sisters, we have new birth certificates that say we were born into the family of Jesus Christ. We are sons and daughters of the King. You are built into a house, being built, verses 20, on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, here pointing to the apostles as they have given us, through the work of the Holy Spirit, the foundation of God's word for our lives. A new nation, a new family, but also thirdly, a new temple. We are growing into a temple on the foundation of Jesus Christ as the cornerstone. Everything is built on Christ. End of there, the verse 20. Verse 21, he says, in Christ, the whole structure, the whole people of God are being joined together into a holy temple in the Lord. Growing into a temple. We're not there yet. We've been looking at that picture of a temple in the evening service in Revelation 21 and 22. That's the picture of what we are growing into. The Holy Spirit working in us. We, as the Apostle Peter says, are like living stones being added together into the temple of God. The church as a whole is being built into God's temple for eternity. And it is the church throughout all the ages that Paul has in mind here, but also that those listening have a part in that great temple. Verse 22, in him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. And Paul is saying, this is who you are. This is who you are becoming together as God's people. You are being built into a holy nation. You are part of God's family. The time is coming where you will experience the blessing of being fully part of God's temple. In Christ, the barriers are being broken down. Do you believe that that is true this morning? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, that he has broken down the barrier between you and God? We know that. We love this truth, I hope. We accept that this barrier between us and God has been broken down. We need that reminder, though, as we think about the barriers we have between each other. As we think about heaven, as the Apostle Paul lays out here, pointing us to heaven, to when we are that holy temple in God, that temple that we are already being built into. As we think about the finished work of God in us, the beautiful bride that we will be, we also need to think about what part can we play? What part can I play? What part can you play in continuing to break down the barriers that are there between us as brothers and sisters in Christ? What part can you play in breaking down the barriers that exist here in Rangiora? What barriers are you putting up between each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? If you say, well, I don't have a problem with anyone, and if someone's got a problem with me, well, they need to come and see me, you're putting up barriers. If someone did come to see you, are you approachable to them having that chat with you? Does your life as a brother and sister and your relationships with your brothers and sisters in Christ portray a willingness to be open with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you going out of your way or trying to show care to each other as brothers and sisters in Christ? If you're not actively seeking to care for each other, you are putting up barriers in God's church. Who are the lonely in our church? Who are those of us who are struggling? Who are the people that are missing from our church family? What barriers do you think are stopping them from coming and being part of our fellowship? What barriers are we putting up to them? Are you praying for those brothers and sisters? Are you reaching out? Or are you happy with those walls just sitting there and being built? We, the Lord's people, heart and voice uniting, praised him who called us out of sin and darkness into his own light, that he might anoint us a royal priesthood. This is the Lord's house, home of all his people, school for the faithful, refuge for the sinner, rest for the pilgrim, haven for the weary, all find a welcome. This is the Lord's day, day of God's own making, day of creation, day of resurrection, day of the Spirit, sign of heaven's banquet, day for rejoicing together as God's people. Amen. Let's pray together. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, for the reality of who we are as a people in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the reminder this morning of where we have come from. We need to remember who we are, who we were, and who we would be if it were not for Jesus Christ. But as we come before you this morning, we need to confess as your people that there are barriers that we have placed between us as brothers and sisters in Christ. That there are many ways that we are comfortable with those barriers. Forgive us for that, Heavenly Father, this morning. We can be so selfish. We can be thinking only of ourselves. Press on our hearts this morning the wonderful reality, the wonderful truth, the wonderful message of your grace to us. We know the words. We know the message of the gospel. Forgive us for taking that for granted. Remind us anew this morning of the wonderful truth that we are right with you. That Christ came down and broke that barrier between us and you. And may that love, Heavenly Father, overflow us so that we break down those walls. So that we reach out to each other. That we draw those who are not here, or those that are here that are distant, that we draw them in to us. And in some ways, Heavenly Father, that is even harder in these times of COVID, where we have limited numbers here, where it is easy to not be here. It is easy to miss people. Help us, Lord. May the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ, that we are one people, that you are building us into a temple, that we will be spending eternity with brothers and sisters in Christ, with the people who we are sitting with here, with those who are not here. Help us, we pray. May your grace drive us, encourage us to reach out to each other as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And may that vision of heaven that we have, the reminders that we've been having in our evening services too, may that drive us and encourage us all the more. We pray this in the name that makes all of this possible. In Jesus' name we pray, and God's people said together with one voice, Amen. Number 395 gives us a call as God's church. Church of God, elect and glorious. Know the purpose of your calling. Show